Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
May God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in to listen to this teaching. I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to all of you and teach you the truth regarding our unseen enemy. I would like to thank all the many teachers in the body of Christ who have studied and shared the experiences of demonology. Those who have taught so many people, many pastors, regarding how demons torture people. And I have learned from many people in the body of Christ. And I would like to pass this teaching on to our church so that we will know how to fight with our enemy. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you so much for your word, and we ask you, Lord, that you will speak into our heart to understand the truth in the Bible. Father, may your will be done in our life. May you, Lord, set the captive free in our church, in our congregation. May your anointing flow, and may your Holy Spirit fall down from heaven. The fire of God will burn every demonic power in the lives of our members. And everywhere we go, Father, please anoint us to heal the sick and cast out demons. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I hope that you have listened to the first CD in this series. I have explained from the scriptural point of view that it's biblical to understand that Christian, even spirit-filled Christian, can have demons in their life. Now I would like to read Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 14. The Bible says, "They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace." Jeremiah chapter 8 verse 11, "For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace." These two scriptures really describe the condition of most Christians in contemporary churches. In fact, God spoke through Jeremiah against the religious leaders and priests in his days. Those religious leaders claimed that they offered healing to God's people, but it was not a complete and genuine healing. They used religious language, practiced religious thing in the temple, and then they claim peace, peace among the people of God. But there was no real peace. God's people did not have the real experience that God desired them to have. That is a true peace and joy. God's people did not have the deep, settled peace that came from the true faith in God and from the obedience to His word. And this is true even today to the multitudes of many Christians, even spirit-filled Christians. They have gone to church, they have gone to Bible studies, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongue. They claim that they have peace and joy. Many Christians even brought up to sing hymns about peace and joy. That church teaches them that they should have peace and joy, and they were even trained to go out to witness to the non-believers that they have peace and joy. But in fact, their spiritual life have been healed only slightly or partially. Some of them have emotional problem, still use medications and see doctors and psychiatrists. They could not sleep. They have broken relationship in their homes. They don't have true peace and joy. If you walk into many, many congregations, you will see on the face of God's people the sadness, the worry, the anxiety, the trouble in their heart. They don't have a peace and joy that the Bible talk about. There is a cover up for the problem that is inside their life. That problem has never been dealt with. And they're still taking tranquilizer, Valium, Xanax, and sedative and antidepressant. They don't truly have peace and joy that the Word of God talks about or promises Christian. In fact, we have been trained even to sing a song, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." I remember so many years in my Christian walk, I got saved in 1980 by an American missionary couple. They worked for Campus Crusade. And I studied the Bible. I went to church all the time. I and my wife, Pasada, did not really have true peace. We were slightly healed. We went through the mechanic of the church until 1987, when the Spirit of God came and touched us and expelled demons out of our life. Since then, we have found true abundant life, and we begin to see the reality of the Christian walk and the reality of the promises of God. My dear brother and sister, is that true? Have you had the same experience that you have been trained to believe that you have something? You speak that you have peace and joy and try to even pretend or look like you have peace and joy. And sometimes you even feel guilty that you don't have it. You put on the mask sometime on Sunday to smile, but deep inside you still have struggling with sins, with bondage, with curses. You don't feel the Christian walk, that the Christian life is what Jesus talk about, the abundant life in John chapter 10 verse 10. The thief does not come except to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus has come to give us life and give it more abundantly. And I believe that God really means it when He say that we should have abundant life. There is something hiding inside many Christians that is causing the lack of true peace and joy and victory. Yes, the Bible says that we already have victory. We have been an overcomer, and that is our legal right to have through Christ Jesus. But we need to have the true victory in a practical way. I would like to explain something about demonology here, about our unseen enemies, relating to the medical practice. As many of you who listen to this CD know, my training background is a neurosurgeon. And I remember several years ago, when I was in the training at a very prestigious hospital in Bangkok, I was in a resident training, and a man was shot by a gun on his head. And when I examined his head, his scalp or the skin on his head, I saw a very small hole with a little bit of blackness from the carbon of the bullet. And I was a resident or a trainee doctor, so I did not understand much about gunshot wound at that time. I was thinking that if I just put a bandage on it, clean the wound up and put the bandage on, just a small hole on the skin, what a big deal. But when I called my attending physician, the neurosurgeon, the professor, he said, no, you cannot do that. You need to take the patient to the CAT scan and see what is inside the head. And I did. I sent the patient to have the CAT scan picture, and I was really surprised because I saw fragments of skull or bone that was pushed into the brain, and also multiple pieces of metallic part of the bullet that went into his brain. Can you imagine if I put the bandage on his wound, what would happen to him? He would develop infection because the bone fragments and the bullet fragments, we call shrapnel, that went into his brain also took the bacteria along with it, and it will eventually grow and developed a condition called abscess in the brain, and the patient will get into trouble later on. Therefore, just put the putting the bandage on the wound for gunshot wound is not gonna help the patient. So my teacher asked me to take the patient to the operating room and then opened the skull and get into the brain to remove all the bone fragments and the bullet fragments from the brain, clean it up, irrigate with antibiotic solution, and then stop the bleeding and close the skull and the skin and put the bandage on. The patient recovered fully, and eventually he went home without any problem. You can see here that many times as Christian we try to do the same thing as what I try to do in this case. I just try to use the medical example here to explain to you the spiritual problem. Many times we look at just a symptom outside, just a little bit of wound, just clean it up a little bit, go to worship service a little bit, go to a seminar or special conference, listen to nice, good teaching, and we just get pumped up and get excited about the Word of God, and we just put the bandage on, we put a smile on our face, and we think that we have been healed completely. But the irritation and the problem still inside us that will come back and cause pain and suffering, sadness, and lack of victory in our life. And this is really true in a lot of ministries on earth nowadays. There are a lot of good preachings and counselings, which is putting a bandage or dressing on the wound, but the object of real problem is still inside the person. until this object is taken out, the spiritual problem or difficulty will not go away. And in this series of teaching, I want to really lead you to understand the real causing agent of your spiritual need and difficulty. And this agent is called an evil spirit. We're going to learn more about evil spirits or demons, which are mentioned in the New Testament and even in the Old Testament. My dear brother and sister, we need the help of the Holy Spirit to discern the real problem in our life or in our brother and sister's life. And we need the hand of God to be like the hand of the surgeon with the forceps or the medical equipment that will deliver that problem out of our life, so that we can have a genuine and complete healing and abundant life. Amen. So please follow this teaching carefully. Don't just put a bandage on your problem. Don't just do the covering up. The cause of the problem must be brought to light. We need to understand how demons work. We need to understand how to expel or get rid of demons from our life and from our brother and sister's life. And we don't want God to charge against us like he did to the religious leader in Jeremiah time. We don't just want to put the wound dressing or bandage, but there was not any real peace. Unfortunately, in most Christian congregations, we find very, very little real peace. We may see a small group of people who have real inner peace with overflowing joy. But most Christians try to look happy and look good. And even many preachers and worship leaders try to make people happy, try to crack joke, try to tell the joke story so that people can laugh. But they just cover up the wound. They heal the heart of God's people slightly. The real root cause of a deep-seated and long-standing personal and spiritual problem has not been removed. And this problem is caused by demons and evil spirits. You need to understand that the word demons and evil spirit are interchangeable terms. Amen. Look at what Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. I believe that you all love to serve God, and you are called to minister to human needs. You are called to follow the footsteps of Jesus. I have a desire, my brothers and sisters, to become like Christ. I would like to minister like Jesus, teaching, making disciples, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, and casting out demons, and meeting the needs of other people. And in order to effectively minister to human needs, we need to have the discernment regarding the evil spirit. And if we don't understand who our unseen enemies are, we are like a boxer who beats the air, who punched the air and did not know the enemy. Paul actually spoke about his own ministry here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. A boxer may send out his fist and all he hits is the air. He expended a lot of energy. He might have an impression that he was achieving a lot, but he did not harm his opponent at all. And many Christian activities are beating the air. They punch with sermons and prayers and worship, but they reap very little result because they don't know how to deal with their unseen enemies. We need to know the nature and activities of our unseen enemies, demons and evil spirit. Amen. So that we can put our fists to the enemy, the fist of the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can take care of the deep-seated, long-standing personal problem in most Christians. And we can detect them, we can acknowledge their presence, know how they operate, know how to deal with them, and so that we will not be like someone just beating the air. Amen. So I'm very excited to learn about demonology, and I believe you are excited to learn about demonology. And demons are subject to Jesus' name. Amen. I thank God we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We are filled with the fire of God in our church, and we can experience true victory in Jesus' mighty name. I read many emails of members who sent to me, and I'm so glad to hear that many of them have been touched by the fire of God, and demons left them, and their Christian walk has gone up to the higher and higher mountain of God. And whenever I read all this testimony, I'm so glad, and I thank God that many years ago he told me to study demonology, and he gave me the discernment and understanding, and he gave me bonus to practice deliverance in our church. Thank God for teaching us about this issue. And I believe that you will learn so many things in this teaching series. Amen. Luke chapter 10 verse 17, the Bible says, "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.'" You can see that demons are subject to Jesus' name. Therefore, you need to have a personal relationship with Jesus, filled with his spirit, and operate by the power of the Spirit of God in order to get rid of our unseen enemies or demons. Later on, you will learn that demons are persons, and they want to dwell in their homes, and their homes or their houses are physical body of either animals or human being. And this demon usually operate in a different ways. There are demons of hatred, demons of fear, demons of pride, jealousy, self-pity, infidelity, sexual immorality, impurity. There are demons of religion, self-righteousness, and even demon of death. So this demon will manifest themselves in a physical body in a different way. Demon can cause major sickness, and the demon of death or spirit of death can enter a person and then cause death without adequate physical reason. The doctor cannot tell why the person died. You know, as a medical doctor, I have seen so many patients who have been sick, and eventually even some of them died without knowing, without finding the real cause of the sickness. Amen. But thank God we can fight against our enemy. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59 verse 19, So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Amen. So that's why we all need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against our unseen enemy, the demon and the evil spirit. We need to really be filled all the time by the fire and the Spirit of God. We need to be Spirit-filled Christian in order to overcome our enemy. I want to encourage all of you today that no matter what demons try to do, God always has the last words. Egypt had their magician, but God had Moses. Baal has its prophets, but God had Elijah. When God wanted to show Abraham how his seed would be like, he took Abraham out in a dark night and showed him the stars in the sky. And God said to Abraham, "So shall your descendants be." Be what, like what? Be two things: as numerous as a star in the sky, and also be shining with the fire and the power and the light of God like stars in the sky. My brother and sister, we are like stars. We need to commit our life to Jesus Christ, be filled with the Holy Ghost, be filled with the fire of God, and we can shine like the light of the stars. Amen. Even though the devil wants to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but we come with the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can obtain the full healing, the genuine and complete healing and deliverance. And we can go out with the power of the name of Jesus, with the Word of God, and with the power of the fire of the Holy Spirit to set the captive free. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible talk about also lying spirit. Now, there are many kinds of demons: lying demons, religious demons, prideful, the demons of pride. In order to get people delivered from demonic power, one of the things that we need to do as the ministers of the gospel is to give them the proper instruction of the Word of God. That's why God gave me the burden to produce this CD series. And I want to let you know that my attitude or my motive is not to try to make money out of the ministry or from this ministry. I just want the Word of God to be heard so that God's people can understand demonology and will be set free from the power of darkness completely. It is a joy in my heart to see God's people get set free, be used of God, serve God effectively. Their families are healed, their finances are healed, their spiritual walk are going up and up and up, higher and higher to become like Christ. We need to get rid of our enemy, and we still need to have a proper instruction of the Word of God, so that everything we do, we'll do by faith. We're going to study about the ministry of Jesus Christ, how He cast out demons. We will study and see that Jesus regularly did the ministry of deliverance. He taught the Word, He preached the gospel, He made disciples, He healed the sick, and also Jesus delivered people from demons in the synagogues. And when demons came into His presence, they screamed, they were not quiet, they threw people on the ground, they even could identify Jesus as the Son of the living God. And Jesus, if you have a chance to walk with Jesus 2,000 years ago, you would be surprised because Jesus did not have a traditional regular church service. They come in, sing a few songs, giving offering, listen to preaching for a while, and then go home. He would heal the sick. He will move in the Holy Spirit. There will be noises of deliverance, and demon will come out in his meeting. Therefore, I want to see the same thing happen in our service nowadays, in this 21st century church. We want to follow the footstep of Jesus Christ. If deliverance was very important in the eyes of Jesus Christ, our Lord, it should be also important for all of us. As far as we are concerned, we cannot improve the ministry of Jesus, but we can do the ministry of Jesus on the last day. Amen. I would like to encourage all of you that we are living in a very exciting time of the church history. We are living in the end time. We are living in a time that God is pouring out His fire, His Spirit. The move of God is stronger and stronger around the world. And God promises in the book of Joel chapter 2 regarding the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the coming of the fire of God that will set the captive free. Joel chapter 2 verse 32 is a promise of God for God's people. The Bible says, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion," mean in the Mount Zion represent the Church of Jesus Christ, "and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance." Amen. In the Church of Jesus, in the house of God, in the community of Jesus Christ, we are the members of His family. There shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Are you glad that deliverance belongs to Christians? We can be completely free from the power of darkness. We can be completely clean, and demons have to come out from our life, from every brother and sister in the church. If you study the book of Joel, J-O-E-L, Joel, which is in the Old Testament, you will see that the theme of this book is desolation, mean defeat and lack and trouble, restoration and judgment. Joel wrote this book by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he mentioned about desolation of the entire inheritance of God's people. But he also prophesies that in the last day, there will be the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came upon His people, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered or shall be saved. And what causes the desolation, the defeat, the lack, the problem of God's people? And the Bible gives us the answer. I will read to you, and you understand what causes this desolation. And you can see also this desolation not only in the Jewish community in the time of Joel, but also in the church today. As I mentioned to you, when I and Pastor Da first became Christians and we went to local churches, we did not have a full, abundant life. We faced the desolation that Joel was talking about until we were set free from the power of demon. And the cause of this desolation is the invading army of demons. Let's look at the Bible together. In Joel chapter 1 verses 4 to 12. Listen carefully, brothers and sisters, and you will see what I'm talking about here. What the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the crawling locust has eaten. And what the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten. Talking about chewing locust, swarming locust, crawling locust, and consuming locust. Four kinds of locust. Locust is a kind of insect. And do you know that insects in the Bible are symbolic of the army of demons? I will explain this in detail in other teaching in this teaching series. So there are many kinds of demons and come and eat and destroy God's inheritance, the inheritance of God's people that God wants to give them. And then verse 5 says, "Awake, you drunkards, and weep and wail, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it has been cut off from your mouth." So you can see desolation here. They don't have the new wine. They did not have what God wants them to have. Verse 6, "For a nation has come up against my land, strong and without number. His teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he has the fangs of a fierce lion." So the enemy come and attack God's people here. "He has laid waste my wine and ruined my fig tree. He has stripped it bare and thrown it away. Its branches are made white. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The grain offering and the drink offering have been cut off from the house of the Lord." You can see the picture of desolation here. Everything is in trouble. There is no even offering. The fig tree have been stripped bare. The priests mourn. I mean, even the pastor and the preacher got into trouble who minister to the Lord. The field is wasted. Wow, picture of desolation. The land mourns, for the grain is ruined. The new wine is dried up, and the oil fails. "Be ashamed, you farmers. Well, you vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field has perished." Wow, big desolation here, difficulty. "The vine has dried up," verse 12, "and the fig tree has withered. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, all the trees of the field are withered. Surely joy has withered away from the sons of men." Wow, you get the picture here that God's people in Joel's time face a great desolation in every aspect of their life. Spiritual aspect, financial aspect, physical aspect, everything. Because of what? Verse 4, talking about chewing locusts, swarming locusts, crawling locusts, and the consuming locusts. The invading army of insects, of demons, came into that nation. We are the holy nation, and demons want to destroy Christians. God's people have been invaded by the forces of our enemies, and they are demons. My dear brother and sister, this is not an accident. It is a part of Satan's strategies. Amen. And thank God that now God has given us the solution. The present move of the Holy Spirit in the local churches will cause the deliverance, will bring deliverance to God's people. The Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit, will drive out Satan's army from the church, so that God's people will be able to function the way God desires to function, so that God's people will have abundant life, victory, and power and fruitfulness as God's desire. Amen. You cannot be the kind of disciple that God wants to make when you have something inside you taking away your peace, your joy, coming against what is true and good, lying to you, accusing you, torturing you, disturbing and tearing down from within. You may look okay outside. You may look like normal person outside, but you don't have the inward victory. God wants to give you a complete victory. Many Christians try to suppress many things, but remember one thing. God's solution is not suppression. Lots of Christians suppress something that should not be there. The depression, the anger, the habit of lying, the impure heart. They do a good job of suppressing all these sins and bondage. But again, it's not God's solution. God wants to set you completely free from the unseen enemies. We cannot have a deep, settled, abiding inner peace and joy if the enemy is there inside us. And that's what demons want to do. They are like insects eating away the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And they try to destroy God's people and steal and kill and torture God's people. Look at verse 25 in Joel chapter 2. Verse 25. The Bible says, "So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten." Is that the promise of God? God promised that He will restore to us the years that demons have eaten. The crawling locusts, the consuming locusts, and the chewing locusts. My great army which I sent among you. So God wants to destroy this army that come in and give God's people the hard time because they sinned against God and they did not listen to God. How God gonna set us free from this great army of our unseen enemies? And the solution in the end time is in verse 28. Joel chapter 2 verse 28, God give us the solution. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." Verse 29. "And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit on those days." Amen. This is the key to restoration. We need to repent of our sin, like what Joel chapter 2 talk about. A call to repentance in verses 12 to 17. The Bible says, "Now therefore say the Lord, turn to me with all your heart," verse 12, "with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. And he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him?" And the Bible says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babies, let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, 'Spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nation should rule over them. Why should they say among the people, where is their God?'" In other words, God called all of us to repent and seek the outpouring of the Spirit. Therefore, God wants to restore us from the invading army of demons. They must be driven out. Amen. and the purpose of restoration is to get all of us to become a true disciple, fruitful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever called on the name of the Lord shall be saved, and there shall be deliverance in Mount Zion. Brothers, my brothers and sisters, I would like to encourage all of you that the Lord Jesus Christ has died on the cross to pay for our sin, and He set us free from sin. He shed His blood, He died, and He came back to life again. And He promises us that He would send His fire, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the move of God into the church. Therefore, in order to have victory, it's not about our title in the church. It's not about our head knowledge, but it's about our relationship with Christ. And we need to humble ourselves. We need to repent of our sin. And we need to press into God together, draw near to God, and allow the Holy Spirit or the fire of the Spirit of God to touch us, to set us free, be filled with the Spirit of God. Thank God that He has brought revival into our church. He has sent His fire into our church since 1997. And I have seen so many members set free from sin and bondage. I thank God for His fire. I thank God for deliverance, His deliverance. I thank God for His touch. God has set me free, and God will set you free. I don't want you to be slightly healed like in the time of Jeremiah. I want to see full deliverance in our church, and you will have true peace and joy, true abundant life. And God will use you powerfully in these times, in these days and hours. Amen. So please listen to other CD in this series and learn more about our unseen enemies. May God bless you. May the fire of God touch you. May He come and cleanse you and deliver you from the power of darkness, from the unseen enemies, evil spirit and demons. May our church be a blessing to many nations, that we will bring the fire of God. We will impart the fire of God into other groups of Christians around the world. Amen. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank You, Lord, for giving us the insight and understanding according to Your word. We don't want to be slightly healed. We want to have a real peace and joy in our midst, in our congregation. Therefore, Father, please continue to send Your fire into our church, into our congregation. And everyone, Lord, who comes to our church will be set free from the power of darkness. Father, may, Lord, Your people who listen to this CD series will have a clear understanding, and they will all, Lord, be set free and rejoice in the name of the Lord. Thank You so much, Lord. We bless You. We love You. We want to serve Jesus with all our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. May God bless you, and see and talk to you again in the next CD.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.